Another legacy that you have received is genetic modification through which you have such a short lifetime. Your duty, Professor, is to plant the seed of knowledge. If you do this, perhaps, it will bear fruit, perhaps no. That depends on the terrain in which you plant sow it. The peace of the planet must take priority, until the men of Earth succeed in evolving to a scientific level, respectful of the forms of life that surround them. I have shown you the tendency to decadence. Each time, during one determined cycle, on your world, you reach a level of knowledge of cosmic level in your moral formation within the decadence. Lia, could you show me the exact place where this weapon can be found? I will take you there, Professor. And we both will observe that great pyramid from the bed of the ocean. You will probably be surprised by its inoffensive appearance, but within that same is found the weapon that is capable of exterminating your whole world. You will observe also the ruins that it has made in its descent. The ocean jealously guards its secret, and the water in some manner attenuates its effects, though not all, and for that it remains being highly dangerous to approach. The magnetic field of our ship repels all antinergy force. Remember, Professor, when your auto would not start. Our negativizer of energy is powerful, but for us this weapon is important. You will go with me, Professor, I promise you. This is the maximum proof offered by an inhabitant of Inkstria to a man of Earth. Many will not believe you. That incredulous attitude of the people of your world permits us to descend to your planet, with total security, though we only make ourselves visible before those who desire to see us. And I said to you, Professor, that nobody is going to believe you, but a few scientists will see answers to their questions in the lines that you write. They will believe, Professor, though not all. Since that day I have reflected much on what Lia said. I worry that her words will continue coming true as has happened before, and if that is it, will other races come to continue visiting our planet with the intent to carry away this weapon? Then why orbit tracking satellites and install enormous radars if we continue being a civilization of minor knowledge to them? My intention is to never publish this information. However, I have consigned it to my diary so as to not forget all that this extraterrestrial woman taught me. Part 8. From Chapter 21. The Extraterrestrial Photographed. From notes in Professor Hernandez's diary for March of 1979, after our lengthy and substantial conversations, Lia left in me a change, a longing to begin to search into the vastness of the universe which surrounds us. I began to carry my photo camera with me in my automobile. I wanted to have objective proof of her existence, a photograph of her or her ship. I asked her that day in March of 1979, if she would permit me to photograph her. She looked at me, not into my eyes, but directly at my forehead. Immediately in my eyes I felt a vacancy. Why? She asked me delicately. Sweetly. Lia, if perhaps sometime I would want to give publicity to that which we have talked, if for some reason I would want to transmit the message you have brought me, they are going to ask for proofs. Who will ask you that? Well, perhaps the editor, perhaps the people who will read about it. Finally, Professor, when I came down to your world I needed to do it suitably protected, not only for me, but also for you. There are a number of such instances of concern for possible infectious germs from space being introduced into our Earth environment. The Ummites, UFO contact from planet Ummo, describe their methods of decontaminating their ships which enter our ambient atmosphere, and their beings who get out and walk our planet, in considerable detail. Many Earth abductees who have been taken aboard ET ships have described the process of decontamination of them and their clothes and equipment as they board the ET vessel. I am surrounded by an anti-magnetic and anti-gravitational halo. 2. The Pleiadians visiting Switzerland describe the protective field that surrounds their ships in our atmosphere and the cosmonauts themselves when they get out of their ships in our environment. See UFO contact from the Pleiades by Stevens. Before, decades of years ago, this halo could be seen by simple sight. Because of this, many of the apparitions of my congenerates were taken as divine. I have mentioned this to you before, But now we have overcome this. 3. The so-called divine beings in all the religions of our world are usually characterized as being surrounded by light, or of having a radiant appearance about them. Sometimes they are painted with a halo of light around the crown of their head. To get myself around in your terrestrial space, I must be suitably equipped. My anti-magnetic field many times nullifies that which moves in your world with common energy. The battery in your watch Comma 4, for example, exploded and was destroyed. Your car at times will not start, will not crank as you say. Imagine what could happen upon taking a photograph. The bulb will not flash. It is useless. 4. In the investigation of UFO cases, we frequently encounter electromagnetic effects on electrical watches of witnesses, UFO contact from undersea, failures of automobile, boat and other vehicle engines, lights and electrical systems, UFO contact from planet Eargo by Dennard and Stevens, failure of house lights and even blackout of whole electrical systems, UFO contact from reticulum by Stevens. We also frequently detect the presence of strong magnetic fields, including elevated residual magnetism for some time afterward, UFO abduction at Myras or B. Dr. Walter K. Buller. I had thought of this many times. Nevertheless, I continued carrying my camera. I never knew when she would return. I had full conviction that it was going to be soon. And finally it occurred. Some days later I came to see her very near at Lake Lolco. I saw her in the full light of day, in the fullness of her extraordinary beauty, which I thought was certainly worth the effort of trying to take her photograph. She, upon sensing my intention, took one step back from me, of about a meter, because her body is highly aesthetic and elastic. She advances or walks with great steps with surprising ease. I followed, actuating the camera shutter several times. She stopped not very far away, but I could tell that she advanced a meter or more with each step. She looked at me and smiled, slightly moving her head in the negative. "It will not come out, Professor. And it is not that I have denied you the opportunity to do this. I must descend to your world protected. Without it, if I came close to you with the germs that are brought from space, your people would die. You have no antibodies to repel the germs of space. I have already spoken to you of this. Look into the camera, and I will carefully guard the picture in my portfolios. I fervently desire that someone or something would appear in the photograph. I myself developed the roll of film in my house. This would be no fake. There appeared a being in only the first photograph. I analyzed it carefully. It was, though anthropomorphic, a phantom, luminous, and in proportion greater than Laia herself. I could not be deluding myself, it was her. Nobody is going to believe this, but myself, yes. I had photographed a luminous halo that surrounded and protected her. My hands trembled. I developed it carefully and studied it before drying and mounting it. I marked the date on it and put it away in safekeeping. There were no images on the rest of the roll of film. It was the only image that appeared, and the rest of the film showed no trace. 5. The rest of the film appeared unexposed because the electrical shutter release failed to operate on the near-dead battery in the camera, and did not open the shutter when the button was depressed. Laia knew that our cameras are really primitive. One might say archaic before their great advances, and only if they desire it, can they be photographed. I really needed to have a proof. I remained suspended between fear and intrigue. I wanted to demonstrate to myself that she existed. I had jealously guarded for such a long time the secret of our meetings, and it was driving me crazy. I wanted to fill myself with equanimity. I knew that a change was taking place in me, but I myself did not know what confronted me. I tried to explain this to myself through science, but I must admit to being afraid at times. The nights I waited stood out clearly, imprisoned in my own subconscious. I was tied to something I did not understand, which was and is something that could be true or not entirely true. The photograph that I had taken was a form of proof, though not absolute, of that which was real. Though it was only to convince myself. Setived in Bild, footnotes, 1. There are a number of such instances of concern for possible infectious germs from space being introduced into our Earth environment. The Ummites, UFO contact from planet Ummo, describe their methods of decontaminating their ships which enter our ambient atmosphere, and their beings who get out and walk our planet, in considerable detail. Many Earth abductees who have been taken aboard ET ships have described a process of decontamination of them and their clothes and equipment as they board the ET vessel. 2. The Pleiadians visiting Switzerland described a protective field that surrounds their ships in our atmosphere and the cosmonauts themselves when they get out of their ships in our environment. See UFO contact from the Pleiades by Stevens. 3. The so-called divine beings in all the religions of our world are usually characterized as being surrounded by light, or of having a radiant appearance about them. Sometimes they are painted with a halo of light around the crown of their head. 4. In the investigation of UFO cases, we frequently encounter electromagnetic effects on electrical watches of witnesses, UFO contact from undersea, failures of automobile, boat and other vehicle engines, lights and electrical systems, UFO contact from planet Eaga by Dennard and Stevens, failure of house lights and even blackout of whole electrical systems, UFO contact from reticulum by Stevens. We also frequently detect the presence of strong magnetic fields, including elevated residual magnetism for some time afterward, UFO abduction at Mirasol B. Dr. Walter K. Buller. 5. The rest of the film appeared unexposed because the electrical shutter release failed to operate on the near-dead battery in the camera, and did not open the shutter when the button was depressed. Note, the extraneous marks on either side of the head of the image in this color slide appear to have been made by earlier analysts picking at the emulsion with a sharp instrument. They do not appear to have been a part of the original image. They were obviously made after the original color slide was developed. Part 9, from the addendum in the book, An Invitation from Liar, from several notes made in November 1979. For many months, almost 14, Professor Hernandez and I, suppose that means the Rodriguez, Rorem, had been conversing at length about his experiences, in which the principal protagonist was an extraterrestrial woman. I showed a really genuine interest in his accounts. To me, it seemed a fantastic story, really incredible. As director of the magazine, I had access to many UFO cases, but none as interesting as this one. I believed it, though I had some doubts. Within me, I felt that the professor was telling me no untruth, and one reason why I say this is that it would be so illogical, since he desired no publicity, no fame, no money, nor any other material benefit, as with others with whom I have dealt. This inspired me to continue studying his case. Sometimes I noticed that he would show fear when speaking of some things concerning Liar. That was logical. He had received a great emotional shock, which I believe the true contactees can understand, and what I say here. Whoever has had an experience of this type, suffers an emotional change. At first, after that first encounter with Liar at the university, the professor felt really surprised when she tried to communicate telepathically with him. He felt that he had received certain messages, though he could not be certain where they came from. His research work advanced surprisingly, thanks to many of the formulas that were seen to be improved with opinions that came from him, without his comprehending how or why. He heard formulas in his mind, but he did not at first relate that to the visits of the strange extraterrestrial women. We conversed at length about the possibility and the ideal means by which the professor could send information to the great powers, advising of his experiences with Liar. We knew that many crazies had been sending letters of pacification to Russia and the United States, but we did not know how they were going to react to the information that he had. Sometimes he and I had questioned things that Liar had said, but he never had doubts about the existence of this woman and her extraterrestrial origin. To insistence, he one day promised to take me to meet her, but I thought it was only a promise to pacify me and nothing else. Nevertheless, he had asked Liar if I could come and meet her personally. She told him yes, but that they did not show themselves to the world because at international levels nobody would believe it, and if they began to do so, They would try to capture them, and to examine them and attempt to analyze their blood, organs and circulation, but that they, she and her friends, were disposed to no more terrestrial beings on a peaceful basis. The professor did not tell me of any preparation, because, according to him, he himself did not prepare, not even at a mental level, although this was a form of communication with him. We agreed that on the next occasion I would go with him to meet Lia. I asked, "Where is the place?" "How would I go?" I asked. "I will take you," he said. At that time, October and November 1979, I had a great deal of work at the publishing house, and I soon forgot my promise to him. Up to now all was going well. During that lapse of time we only saw each other 2 or 3 days due to his having to go to the Zone of Silence to make a report. When he returned, he said that he wanted to remind me of our appointment with Lia. I felt a kind of curiosity. Finally I was going to meet an extraterrestrial woman. I thought that as a journalist, I might be able to convert this into a contact. What should I do? Now I was on the level of the professor. What would happen? As the day approached for my possible encounter with Lia, I began to feel a kind of uneasiness. Frequently in the evening, I would think very deliberately about that. What was happening to me? Did I really want to meet Lia out of curiosity, or only to unmask the professor? I did not know, but I began to feel an unprecedented fear. I felt very bad. I wanted to go, but I refused to take part in that meeting. If a man of the valor and the integrity of the professor had experienced changes in his personality, could I resist that? The day arrived and the professor called me early to remind me of the appointment. He was very sure the two of us would go together. He was really quite sure that I would accompany him. The night before, I had not been able to sleep. I was really terrified. I never knew why, but toward morning I stuck my head out the window and upon looking at the moon and the stars, I felt my heart beating with great force. I felt an undefined emotion. I was not emotionally prepared for such an encounter. I began to think of those who had disappeared and whose disappearances on many occasions was attributed to the UFOs. For that reason, when he called me to tell me that he was coming for me at 5 o'clock, I refused, arguing that I had too much work. The professor then said to me, "I asked Lia if you could come with me to meet her personally, because you want to see if what I have been telling you is true." She answered me, "It is well, you may bring her, but I do not think she wants to come." That surprised me a great deal. Lia knew that I could not come. Had she provoked this psychological ill feeling? Was I not prepared for such an encounter? I had no answer to my questions. The professor had told me that many people could contact them, the ETs. Their advances do not damage us, and many times they have placed their sciences at the service of whomever, like the professor, become their friends. Their space travels do not endanger us. Many of us, through some subconscious fear, refuse to accept friendship with beings from other worlds, and this fear impedes their coming to have a coherent relationship. I have interviewed other extraterrestrial contactees. Those who really have had some kind of contact experienced a certain fear. That depended on the nature of the contact, on whether it had been involuntary or friendly, or if there had only been silent contact. The professor had already had to confront the problem of a special encounter, and above all had to struggle against himself to believe it. I simply had to remember that I was afraid of the unknown, and I believe that fear is an obstacle by which we terrestrials do not come to accept, as it should be, the presence of those beings. When I told my elder brother about this, he reproached me as a coward, and still today I regret not having gone. 9 years have passed, and it seems that I can return to that time and feel the same ill sensation, only by imagining that I could have been on a spaceship. It is true that my action was incomprehensible. But if you had been in my place, what would you have done? From Chapter 23, We're Destroying Our Own Planet. From notes made in November 1975. We continually search the universe, trying to perhaps encounter something else, is what Lia has told me many times. Day after day, a labyrinth of questions rise in my mind. I have asked her to tell me why my limited capacity for discernment and little receptivity is an obstacle so difficult to overcome. I know that contrary to her desires, she used words incomprehensible and terms that at times I did not understand. Likewise, when she was forced to use or employ simple terms in referring to her technical scientific subjects, the grandness of her knowledge was minimized. According to my deductions, she spoke to me in words most accessible, which could serve to train me, which much facilitated things for me. I began to become accustomed to my training by Lia, at whatever moment, in whatever place she wished. With her, today, when I saw her at the UNAM, University of Mexico picture of it, walking toward the cafeteria, there was absolutely nothing strange. I knew that she could accomplish almost anything she desired, and I believe that up to then, she had become a part of my life. I stopped her when I caught up with her. "Hey! Hey!" I exclaimed. "I have many questions to ask you," I said without stopping to think of the necessity of protocol to greet her. I acted spontaneously, without courteously greeting her. She nodded her head affirmatively and looked at me expectantly. We walked toward the outside in the direction of the parking lot. "Lia," I said while we retired from that place, "tell me about the uncertain future which day after day I have come to comprehend from all your conversations. Show me that which will come in a form inevitably destructive to assault our planet." "Listen, Professor, the terrestrials demonstrate decadent tendencies, nevertheless the Malority live in a period of transition. That is to say, of changes, of metamorphosis. The galactic community simply observes. One, only you can resolve the internal affairs. 1. Many other contactees, notably Eduard Meyer in Switzerland, have been told by ET visitors that they have no authority to intervene in our basic nature beyond advising and educating, pointing the way, so to speak. They say that all the problems that vex us are of our own making, and that we must learn to unmake them or learn to control them ourselves. They can give advice and even recommend, but we have to choose whether we want to take advantage of the advice offered, and if we choose not to, we must suffer the consequences of our acts. They say there is nobody coming from anywhere to save us from ourselves. It is the respect of free will, of the liberty to act. It is a form of living, though that could be disputed, that is respected. Nevertheless, you are gaining, if that is what you want, and they demonstrate access to great intergalactic knowledge. However, contrary to that which you hope for your community, the terrestrials demonstrate clear tendencies to decline. The decline of this civilization began some time ago. As thinking beings, you began to incur this in your own species. In only one century, you have carried out sufficient nuclear tests that, because of which, for the next 200 years, your humanity will be exposed to radioactive residues from explosions in different parts of your planet. Unfortunately, this is one of the more important reasons why you are losing your ozone layer. By the 1980s, you will have lost a total of 8.3% of the ozone layer that originally was found at the beginning of this century. This will provoke the solar rays to stimulate the molecules of all living organisms to their maximum level. 2. This will also make many of the viruses that assault the terrestrials reach their optimum resistance. 3. This cause of the destruction of the protective ozone layer surrounding our planet was also pointed out in ET contacts in Switzerland in 1975, before we were even aware of any loss ourselves, and in 1976 in ET contacts in Minnesota. Other ETs making contact in other countries have pointed out the same problem for us. 3. The effect of the loss of the ozone layer on viruses is a new factor introduced by these ETs in this case. But the effect of fine radiation on viruses and the DNA chains in living organisms was discussed in detail in 1967 and 1968 by ET visitors from Planet Amo to contactees in Spain. See UFO Contact from Planet Amo, Volume 2, by Antonio Ribera. Nevertheless, this will exercise a major stimulation of the cerebral neurons, which contributes to the acceleration of the neurophysical changes in the humanity of your world. The memory and the intelligence will be the first cerebral zones to show sensible changes. This will transform the character of each individual, according, of course, to the resistance of each one. The changes will sharpen, whether they are positive or negative, but your own tendencies will always become more acute. The grade of abnormal neuroses will rise noticeably. As a consequence, your aggressiveness will increase, and the percentage will rise day by day and month by month. Characteristics will increase, and intelligence will be accentuated. But also said stimulations will generate decadence in the individual as such. Although it seems to you sometimes that this could benefit humanity, it will prejudice him greatly in genetic order. He will become susceptible to diseases for which there are no known treatments. 4. Witness the development of new diseases in our society which we have never heard of before, and for which we have no known effective treatment, such as AIDS. And we are here being told that this is only the beginning, and that this will continue to develop on a sine curve until we get control of our misuse of radiation, and the long-term effects that result from it. Respiratory ailments and neurological illnesses will be one form of organic abnormality by the end of the 1980s. After that will come all kinds of degenerative sicknesses. The births of genetically malformed beings will accelerate. The human race suddenly will be confronted by changes in genes, of DNA in mutation. Many species of animals will have disappeared, others will show mutations, and still others will have lost the characteristics of their race. This will show you that, thanks to the indiscriminate use of nuclear tests and the dangerous contaminants that poison the water and the air, the race is suffering mutations. Some of the greatest tragedies of humanity began because of circumstances that seemed ingenious and inoffensive at the time. Because of that, upon analyzing the effects over time, we must first observe the experience which gives us a retrospective view of the past. Much of that which has been done in the areas of science has resulted in death to humanity. The accidents which have occurred in nuclear plants, and those which will occur in the future, contribute still more to sensitive loss of the ozone. 5. This is another reference to our misuse of our atomic sciences and the destruction of the protective ozone layer, which the ETs tell us is a direct result of the harmful radiations released. Nevertheless, we continue adding to the cumulative problem with no apparent concern for our own future tomorrow. Some ETs have even observed that we are in the process of terminating our own aberrant society, a just and deserved end to a violent species, they say. Must we continue to our ultimate end? What? Have there been more nuclear accidents? I asked in surprise. Yes, Professor. And for this also there are many reasons. In the first place, you still are not capable of beneficial use of nuclear energy without problems, threats, and dangers to your civilization. There are risks. The movements of ground, such as landslides and earthquakes, though slight, endanger the plants. This should make man think, and know that his habitat is not adaptable to plants of this kind. 6. A nuclear power plant in California is built right on a major fault line where earthquakes are expected beyond all doubt. And similar thoughts, how we play with great dangers here, can be made of the info from the Swedish contact person Antti Johnson, and he was taken into an underwater base in minus 85, where he witnessed many nuclear missiles that was seemingly taken down by some of the ETS/cosmic child guards for our Earth. Rorum, but wait. The loss of ozone increases the temperature, or diminishes it according to the case. This will easily affect the nuclear plants. No, Professor, you still are not capable for that. It also influences the external movement of the planet. Moreover, the pressures of gravitational change from that date began to increase, which could also put the nuclear plants in danger, as well as other important things. Someone needs to stop this, because the result in the future will bring unacceptable damage to humanity. This was said more than 30 years ago, and today we more and more see the consequences of what he warned against. R.O.M., man, despite his advance, his intelligence, his desire to overcome the barriers of his habitat beyond the atmospheric level which surrounds your planet, opens a great highway towards his own destruction. It is imperative to open a breach toward more knowledge, physical and moral, of the terrestrial being. He has degraded the water, a liquid of optimum excellence, not only on your planet, but in all the universe. He has dirtied his planet, has destroyed hundreds of thousands of living beings, animals, plants and rivers, lakes and oceans contaminated by man, not to mention his absolute lack of respect not only shown toward those others, but manifested towards himself.